Thank you, ma'am. God bless you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. You may be seated. Thank you. It is an honor and a privilege to be here on such a special day. And in a profession, and I hate to use the word profession, but we'll just use the word profession, where men are leaving every week for your pastor to be still doing what he's doing and to have done it for 37 years, I think that's worth a hand. Mm-hmm. So, Pastor Redfern, give God the glory. Appreciate this opportunity, and I give God the glory for your still being in ministry, your faithfulness to the call. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this time, and we call it blessed. And we thank you, Lord God, for the Spirit of God leading us, guiding us, and teaching us on this morning. Lord, we just thank you for all that will be accomplished on today, all of you and none of me. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, I would like to talk to you about the miracle of personal growth and development. The miracle. It's a miracle. You can change your life. You can go from poverty to wealth. You can go from sickness to health. By simply growing, not staying the same, being a doer of the word, and not just a hearer only. Now I want to give you several statements. The first one is this: growth is the only guarantee that tomorrow is going to get better. Growth is the only guarantee that tomorrow is going to get better. God expects our faith to grow. God expects our knowledge to grow. God expects us to grow. Most people don't lead their lives, they accept their lives. Most people don't lead their lives. They just simply accept what comes. The doctor gives a bad report, they just accept it. They get a bad report on the job, they just accept it. Things happening in the house, they just accept it. God did not create you to be a victim of circumstance. He created you to be a creator of circumstance. God did not create you in his own image to be a victim of circumstance. He created you to be a creator of circumstance. Now I want to look at something in Psalm 33. In Psalm 33, starting with verse 4, and I'm reading it in the Amplified. It says, "For the word of the Lord is right, and all his work is done in faithfulness." Thank God for his faithfulness. Amen. "He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the loving kindness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made." How were the heavens made? By the word of the Lord. "And all their hosts by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the seas as in a bottle. He puts the deeps in storage places. Let all the earth fear the Lord, revere and worship him. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke and what happened? For he spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. He spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. And you were made in his image." Amen. The Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, Ecclesiastes 8 verse 4, I just want to read it to you in the Amplified Classic. It says, "For the word of a king is authority and power. And who could say to him, what are you doing? We must speak to our mountains. We must speak to our finances. We must speak to our bodies. We must speak to whatever it is that's not in line with the word of God. Because you were created to be a creator, not to be a victim." And as you continue to grow, see, as you change, things change. See, the Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 24. In Proverbs chapter 24, verse 5, it says, "A wise man is strong." I'm reading the Amplified again. A wise man is strong and is better than a strong man. A man of knowledge increases and strengthens his power. The more knowledge I have, the more powerful I become. The more knowledge I have, the more power I have in the spirit realm. I can take more control in the spirit realm. I can take more dominion in the spirit realm. I'm not just dependent on a doctor. I'm not dependent on a banker. I'm not dependent on my job. I'm dependent on Almighty God because I have spiritual knowledge. And the spiritual knowledge will take me from one level of glory to another. I was listening to the late Kenneth Hagin, and he was talking about a woman that had issues with her eyes. She was cross-eyed. And he said he would look at her, and one eye would go one way, and it's like she couldn't control her eyes. And then as he looked at her, then the other eye would move. And she said, I'm just believing God. She had to wear glasses to kind of stabilize her eyes. And he said, well, you know, if you were just every day in the morning and every day in the evening, you say, Father, I receive healing for my eyes in the name of Jesus. He said, every day you just say it. Every day you just speak out of your mouth that you believe that you're healed by the stripes of Jesus and that your eyes are made whole. He said about a year later, he came back to that same city. And when he saw the lady, she didn't have her glasses on. And as he communicated and spoke with her, he said her eyes didn't move. She said to Brother Hagin, my eyes are totally healed now. Amen. Do you know what happens when you get spiritual knowledge? Spiritual knowledge will take you into the realm of impossibilities. Because when the doctor says, I can't help you, when the doctor says you're going to have to inject insulin for the rest of your life, when the doctor says you got to pop blood pressure pills for the rest of your life, when the doctor says you might have to do dialysis for the rest of your life, you got something that will give you hope. And we call it the Word of God. Amen. The late Kenneth Hagin, you got to forgive me. I just graduated from Rhema's correspondence school. So I had to read so many books by Kenneth Hagin, and I've been listening to so many messages and stuff. And he was telling the story about how there was a man who had diabetes, and he was watched a man inject himself with insulin. And he asked the guy, he said, don't you want to be free from that? Said, don't you want to be healed from that? Don't you know Christ has redeemed you from the curse? The man said, yeah. He said, well, all you got to do is, he said, just be a doer of the word. Matter of fact, he said he would think this about the gentleman because he said that he was preaching for the man twice a day for several weeks. And he said after 10 days, the man finally got it. He said the man had to keep hearing. And he had to keep hearing. And he had to keep hearing because faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. And after 10 days, the man said, I'm not going to keep doing this. And Brother Hagin said, every day, you got to confess. You believe. Confess. You say. A year later, went to see the man. The man says, I'm no longer taking insulin. He said, the doctor told me you can't take insulin anymore. Notice how the doctor had to tell him. See, Fred Price wrote a book called Faith, Foolishness, and Presumption. Okay, we don't want to walk in foolishness. But the doctor told him. The doctor says, you don't need to take this insulin anymore. See, God can handle anything. And that's why we're talking about spiritual growth and development. You start where you are, but you don't stay the same. See, once again, God expects our faith to grow because as your faith increases, your limitations decrease. And when you understand, and please hear me when I say this, when you understand that you're in control of your life. Now, God, of course, leads us and guides us by His Spirit. But God has never woke you up one morning and opened up your eyes and put a Bible in front of you and forced you to read anything. God has given you the tools, but He expects you to use them. He expects you to do something. See, the Bible tells us in Mark chapter 11. We're talking about the miracle of personal development and growth. Mark chapter 4, verse 11, in the Amplified Version once again. It says, and he said to them, this is Jesus, To you has been entrusted the mystery of the kingdom of God. That is the secret counsels of God, which are hidden from the ungodly. See, it pays to be in the household of faith. Amen. It pays to be in the family of God. And it says the secret counsels of God, which are hidden from the ungodly. But for those outside of our circle, everything becomes a parable. See, Jesus was saying, inside my circle, I'm giving you knowledge. I'm giving you tools. I'm giving you keys. And then in verse 24, same chapter, he says, and he said to them, be careful what you are hearing. The measure of thought and study you give. Notice now, not the measure of thought and study that God forces you to give. The measure of thought and study that you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you, and more besides will be given to you who hear. See, it's what you put into the word. See, you get out of life what you put into it. You get out of the word what you put into it. I remember the late Kenneth Hagin. He was talking about how when he first got into the ministry, he would stay up all night long reading the word of God. I'm not telling you that's what you have to do. You got to start where you are. But he said for him, he said, I had to know. And he said, I stay up late. My son go to bed. My wife will go to bed. He said, when they woke up the next morning, I was still reading. I was still studying. See, the late Pastor Robin Gould, he's in heaven now. But he's talking about how when he first got started in ministry, he would have three Bibles. And he said, I would read to 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, reading the word of God. He said, I had to learn. I had to grow. I had to become more than what I was. Amen. See, your outer world is just simply a reflection of your inner world. Yeah. And when you become more on the inside, you'll have more on the outside. Amen. Very simple. You want to have more, you can have more. That's why it's a miracle. When you have more knowledge about the word of God concerning healing, miracles will happen. Your health will get better. Yes, next thing you know, you go to the doctor and says, you know what? Your blood pressure is so well. Your blood pressure is so good. You don't need to take this blood pressure medicine anymore. Then next thing you know, the doctor's telling you, you know, your kidneys are functioning. You know, you don't need to take dialysis anymore. See, a miracle takes place. Then next thing you know, you start seeing the windows of heaven opening. See, when you release what you have in your hand, God releases what is in his. When you release what's in your hand, when you open up your hand, God opens up his heavens. But the measure that you give is the measure that the heavens will be opened. Which says to me, I control how much of the windows of heaven is over my life. I can't control the windows that are over Pastor Redfern's life. I can't control the windows that's over Minister Thomas's life or my brother and my mom's life. Or your life, I can only control the windows over my life. Amen. See, I'll give you scripture for it. Luke 6:38. Very familiar scripture to everyone. Luke 6:38 in the Amplified. It says, give and gifts will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Will they pour into the pouch formed by the bosom of your robe and use as a bag? For with the measure you deal out. See, just like in Mark 4, the measure that you deal out with the measure that you use when you confer benefits on others, that will be measured back to you. So I control the measure. It's like back in the day, the old school ministers, they say, you know, if you use a teaspoon when it comes to giving, then God's going to get his teaspoon. Okay, because his teaspoon is bigger than yours, but it's still a teaspoon. And when you use a shovel, God will use his shovel. Yes, now, his shovel is bigger than yours, but it's still a shovel. Yes, and if you bring your dump truck, yes. God will use his dump truck. Amen. We control the measure. Yes, see, at the end of the day, our lives are our responsibility. Yes. Now, when I say our responsibility, we must pray in the Holy Ghost. We must seek the face of God, and we must allow him to lead us. Yes. But at the same time, we still have to get up and we have to pray. Amen. You know, one reason why people don't grow is because of misplaced obsessions. Misplaced obsession. You're obsessed with the wrong thing. I didn't say you were obsessed with a sinful thing. You're just obsessed with the wrong thing. Yeah. Yeah. I'm from Charlotte, North Carolina. There are people obsessed with the Carolina Panthers. If we don't draft the right people, if we go on a losing streak, I'm telling you, they're having a bad day. I'm telling you, their eyes water up. People are obsessed with the Charlotte Hornets. Man, we can't get a star player. Man, we can't. I mean, it ruins their day. Obsessed with the wrong thing. People are obsessed with the Dallas Cowboys. People are obsessed with the Pittsburgh Steelers. I ain't saying it's wrong. It's just misplaced. That's all. If you know more about the Steelers than you do the Word of God, it's just misplaced. That's all I'm saying. It's just misplaced. That's all I'm saying. Okay? You can like the Steelers. You can like the Cowboys. You can like whoever you like. I'm not saying it's wrong. Me and my sons, the last few weeks, you know, since the NBA season has started, we stay up till 11 o'clock or so. We'll watch games about halftime, you know. So we enjoy the NBA. We enjoy watching the Dallas Mavericks play. Or, you know, Wembanyama now with San Antonio. So we watch stuff. You know, we're human just like y'all. But it's not misplaced. I tell them, hey, did you get into the Word yet? You know, I make my sons every day. Lester Summerall, his content is now available again. It wasn't available for a while, but now it's available again. And so right now, Lester Summerall had a teaching on demonology, you know, casting out devils and stuff like that. So I tell my sons, I said, every day you watch one video a day. It's just 20 minutes. You play video games for about 3 hours. You can at least give God 20 minutes. So 20 minutes, Lester Summerall, and then I have a devotional where it's read the Bible in a year. It's just, what, 3 chapters, maybe 4 chapters? Hey, give God some time. So I'm saying, just give God some time. And that's what I'm saying to you. Give God some time. But don't be happy where you are. Don't just accept where you are. I gave this quote recently. The scariest place to be is the same place as last year. That's the scariest place to be. Right. I'm not talking about where you're living physically, geographically. I'm talking about where you are in your life. You know, the late Pastor Gould used to say this, and it was good, man. He said, you should be growing in 3 areas of your life. No, 4 areas. He said your faith level, your trust level, your dependency level, and your love walk. Those are 4 levels you should always be growing in. And, of course, they all interweave and are interwoven. Because trust, dependency, right? Faith. That's all dependent on the Word of God. But if you made the same amount of money on your job, you should still be giving more. Why? Because my job is just simply where I get my seed. That's where I get my seed. But my money comes from God. See, heaven is the source of the blessings, and the earth is just simply where it manifests. And when you understand that, you take your eyes off of your job. You take your eyes off of the government. You take your eyes off of man. You take your eyes off of the 401k. Because at the end of the day, God is my source. I was in church Wednesday night, and I went out into the foyer area. It was right during praise and worship. Walked out in the foyer area, and I forgot who I was looking for. I was trying to turn. Oh, somebody gave me a brown manila envelope, and I was turning it in to the front desk at the front of the church. And as I was going out there, a lady stopped. She said, Minister Chapman. She said, it's Minister's Appreciation Month. Me and my husband, we wanted to do something for you, and here you are. She pulled out her checkbook. I said, well, praise the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. I wasn't even thinking about it. God's my witness. I was trying to get the envelope to the front. We used to call it the courtesy booth. I forgot what we call it now. But trying to get to the courtesy booth. And the lady said, I wanted to write you a check. I said, well, praise God. We give God the glory. Thank you, Lord. My steps are ordered by the Lord. And then Saturday, I was at intercessory prayer Saturday morning. And as I was praying, a lady just stuck some money in my hand. She said, I just want to be a blessing to you. $100. I said, God, thank you so much. Yes, see, you don't have to wait every other Friday. That's right. You don't have to wait every Friday. God knows how to get it to you. See, the gentleman who did the tithes and offering, he talked about how God will bless you and feed you during evil times.
Yes, sir.
Amen. See, as you're a tither and a giver, as you increase your measure,
yes, sir.
Increase your measure, then God increases his measure.
That's right.
And no matter what's going on, it's good times for you, buddy.
Yeah.
See, God asked Noah, he said, Noah, I want you to build me an ark. I'm going to destroy the earth. And when Noah and his family were in that ark, it was nothing but destruction taking place. But he was in the ark. We can create our own ark.
Yeah.
I want to look at something that just hit my mind. Let's look at Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1. Job is before Psalms. I didn't mean to go here, but hit my mind. Job chapter 1, verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was blameless and upright and one who feared God and shunned evil. I'm in the New King James. Also, his possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a very large household. This man was the greatest of all the people of the East. So we see this man was doing all right. Do we all agree? Okay. Now, let's skip down to verse 8. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There is none like him on the earth. Boy, I wish God could say that about me. There's nobody on the earth like Minister Chapman.
Yes, sir.
A blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil. Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. God put the hedge. And I'm telling you, you can have a hedge around your life.
Yes.
It doesn't matter what's going on in the world.
Yes.
You're blessed.
Yes.
Doesn't matter what's going on in the economy. It doesn't matter how high gas prices get down. We don't want to get no higher.
No.
We don't want the food prices to get any higher. But hypothetically, if they got higher, God will make sure you had enough.
Amen.
I was telling I had to preach one night at the church. And before that, I was doing an offering exhortation. I was listening to an offering exhortation. And a woman was talking about how, you know, God has prospered y'all. I know y'all got 12 rows of paper towels, and you got this, and you got a refrigerator full of food or whatever. So then I had to come up after her. And I said, I guess I got to believe God more because I don't have 12 rows of paper towels in my home. You know, I just have a few, you know. And so the next day, when I came home from work, somebody had put about 10 rolls. It might have been 8 rolls. I forgot how many. It might have been 12. I forgot. A bunch of rolls of paper towels on my front door, by my front door. And I said, God, you tough. And I brought it in, and I said, well, let me put it with the other paper towels. And realized I was out of paper towels. God knows everything about you. I said, God, you tough, man. God is tough. I don't know if you knew that or not. I'm sure you have an idea. But God is tough. God knows how to meet every need of your life. He knows what you have need of before you even ask. That's the kind of God we serve. And that's why spiritual growth and development is so important. Because you learn more and more about God as you study him. You learn more and more about God as you read men and women of God's books. Read their books. Credible men and women of God. As you read their books. As you listen to their messages. As you listen to your pastor. And then your faith grows. Your knowledge increases. You see, what happens when everybody in the congregation is increasing? What can the church do as everyone is increasing? Increasing in their knowledge, increasing in their anointing, increasing in their sensitivity to the Spirit of God. I remember the late Pastor Gould talked about how years and years and years ago, when they used to have the Believers Convention in Charlotte in 1980, 1981, and I believe Charles Capps was there. I think it was 1980. And Charles Capps had a book table. And Pastor Gould went to the book table, and he was looking at the books and the tapes, and he said he couldn't afford anything on the table. But he said he was looking at the table, and the lady said, "Sir, I don't know who you are, but the Spirit of God just spoke to me and told me to tell you, you can have anything you want on this table." See? But she was just the book lady. She was the book table lady. She knew the voice of God. See, everybody has to know the voice of God. Not just the pastor. Not just the pastor's wife. Everybody has to know it. See? As we grow and develop collectively, the church becomes stronger. When everybody knows the voice of God, when everybody knows how to believe God, so that when pastor says, "I have a project coming and I need you," everybody says, "Oh, we know how to get it. God's been blessing us." See, personal development is not just for us individually, but it's for the rest of the world as well. Bible says we're blessed to be a blessing. Now, I talked about misplaced obsessions. Let's look at Mark chapter 4. The Bible says in Mark chapter 4, verse 18. Talk about, this is the parable of the sower. It says, "The one sown among the thorns are others who hear the word. Then the cares and the anxieties of the world, the distractions of the age," I'm reading the Amplified, "and the distractions of the age, and the pleasure and the delight and the false glamour and deceitfulness of riches and the craving and passionate desire for other things creep in." Yeah. "And they choke and suffocate the word, and then the word becomes fruitless. Only because you were obsessed with the wrong thing." See, we're supposed to be meditating the word of God day and night. Reading the word of God day and night. But we know what we do day and night? We read about the Kardashians. Right? We read about what's going on in the NFL. What's going on in the NBA. You know, who's the guy that fought recently? The heavyweight that just fought. He won, but he got knocked down. Fury. Thank you so much. Tyson Fury. So Fury had won the fight. He got knocked down. Oh, was it fixed? And then we watch all the commentary, and we spend several days talking about it. And I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with that. But it's just sometimes we can have misplaced obsessions. That's all. Nothing wrong with it. It's just like Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom." He didn't say seek only. He said seek it first. If you can seek something first, that means you can seek something second, third, fourth, right? So we're not saying, you know, be abnormal. But the problem is when we have misplaced obsessions. When the NFL draft is coming up, and you know all the top prospects, and you know what school they went to, and you know that they ran a 4.4, you know they ran a 4.6, and you know how much they bench pressed, and you know how the interview went with the executives, and you know everything about the prospect. But you can't give me 5 scriptures on healing. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. I just need you to know just as much word as you know about your favorite NBA team. Your favorite NBA player. I like to watch Stephen Curry play. I think he's one of the best guards I've ever seen. So I like watching the Golden State Warriors. I like watching Luka Doncic. I like watching players. I know a lot about them. I study them. Just like Steph Curry, a lot of people don't notice, but for 5 years, he dedicated 5 years of his life to developing his body and developing his basketball game. 5 years. He did nothing but work out, play basketball for 5 years. And that's how he became the man that he is right now. That's how he became the shooter that he is right now. That's how he became the greatest shooter that we know of, because of his dedication. See, you get out of life what you put into it. Bible says, "Do you see a man diligent in his business? He will stand before kings." So that says to me, I determine who I stand before. Now, we believe God for favor. We believe God to go before us and make crooked places straight. But the Bible says that if you're diligent in your business, and the Amplified says if you're diligent and skillful in your business, you'll stand before important people. So my diligence will determine who I stand in front of. So I don't have to blame nobody. I'm not a victim. Amen. See, doesn't matter what gender you are. Doesn't matter what color you are. Doesn't matter what side of the tracks you were born on. See? Amen. See, if I can get knowledge, knowledge will change your life. Amen. We just cannot stay the same. Now, I want to give you another scripture. Let's look at 2 Peter. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. And I'm going to read it in the New King James. 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 2, it says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. But notice how grace and peace is multiplied through knowledge. Then verse 3, it says, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge. Through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. That through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You want to escape the stuff that's going on in this world? Knowledge. He's given you precious promises. He's given you his word so that when you encounter challenges in your life, you know what to do. When you have a financial, I won't say crisis, but when you're challenged in your finances, most people want to hold on, but you got to let it go. Amen. You got to let it go if you want to grow. Amen. Amen. So what do you mean let it go? You got to sow. Yeah. You got to sow, man. But your mind says, well, where the money going to come from? The mind says, how am I going to pay my bills? The mind says, well, if I don't pay them, who's going to pay them? Now, all I'm saying to you is, it's that we have to renew our minds to the word of God. Yes, and I've done it over and over. I learned it from Jerry Savelle. I went to Jerry Savelle's School of Ministry. He said this in his ministerial class. He said, you must learn that if it won't meet the need, it's seed. If it won't meet the need, it's seed. In other words, if I need $100 and all I got is $20, the $20 is now the seed that I sow to get the $100 I need. Yes, that's all that means. If it won't meet the need, it's seed. Give, and it shall be given. The Bible doesn't say give, and it might be given. It doesn't say give, and it's a strong possibility, depending on how God is feeling that day. No, give, and it shall be given. See, we're talking about spiritual knowledge. To him who has, will more be given. So you got to get a revelation of these things. Yes. Revelation of the power of your words. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. Yes. So we're talking about knowledge. Most people are shooting themselves in the foot by the words that they say. Yes, I will never make more money than what I'm making right now. I'll never get that promotion. They always pick other people over me. I don't know why. They just don't like me. Good things just don't happen to me. I'll always drive a car like this. I can never drive a car like that. I can never live in a neighborhood like that. Shooting themselves in the foot. You're hurting yourself. Because Jesus said you can have what you say if you don't doubt it in your heart. Amen. See, we have to understand that as I apply spiritual laws, as I apply what Pastor Redfern teaches every Sunday, as I apply the word of God, I'm going to see something. Yes. Yes. And then when I see something, development is taking place. Yes. Then next thing you know, you don't act the way you used to act. Because that word has changed you. Yes. So let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3. God does not want us to be the same. He doesn't want our attitude to be the same. I had a coach last night. I'm a basketball coach for our school. I'm a head varsity girls coach. And last night, I was coaching the girls. And a couple of times, I caught myself. I was about to go off. I said, no. I said, come here. I said, now listen. You know what you did was stupid. Yes, sir. Well, it's over with now. I'm not going to yell at you. See, I'm growing. Last year I would have yelled. We're supposed to go from glory to glory. See, our family members are supposed to say, man, you used to get mad when this happened. Man, you used to cuss when this happened. You don't cuss no more. I ain't talking about y'all, I'm talking about other people. I know nobody curses in here. Man, you used to cuss when you got upset. You used to do this and man, you changed. I notice a change in you. Thank you so much. I've been spending time with God. Amen. And God has changed some things in my life. I had a quote that I want to give you in reference to that. Oh, what is it? Yes, you become what you give your attention to. You become what you give your attention to. That's why the Word of God calls itself a mirror. Because as you look into the mirror, God is saying, this is what you are. But then the Bible says that a person who's not a doer of the word is like a man who looks in the mirror and then forgets what kind of man he is. You sit under the word and you know you're more than a conqueror. Pastor tells you you're more than a conqueror. You can do all things through Christ. I mean, he's giving you all that good stuff. And then you walk out and as soon as something hits you, you forget who you are. But see, as you develop in the things of God, then somebody says, hey, man, you're different, man. You changed, man. You seem to have more joy. Yeah. Well, you see, I've been spending time with God. God's been rubbing off on me. Yeah. The fruit of the Spirit is functioning more than it used to. I've been running around with God. Yeah. You ever seen somebody say they've been running with the wrong people? Yeah. I remember years ago, I was in open gym and Pastor Gould was on my team. We were playing ball. I was in college at this time. And man, I came home from school. I've been around the guys, whatever. So I'm having an off night. And I remember I shot the ball and I missed it. And I just yelled the S word, right? Yelled it. And the whole gym just stopped. And Pastor Gould just looked at me. He said, hey man, what's up, man? I said, I'm sorry, Pastor, I'm so sorry. He said, who you been hanging around? Man, who you been hanging around, man? I said, I'm sorry, Pastor. I'm sorry. He said, no problem. I love you, man. I forgive you. And he didn't let that go. Every time I said something or every time something was said, he said, hey, man, don't cuss now. Hey, man, don't cuss. And then he'll start laughing. So I had to grow, right? But he said, who you been hanging around? Because you weren't doing that when you left. Who you been hanging around? But let's put it on the good side. Let's flip it on the good side. Hey, you've changed. You're so much nicer now. You got such a different countenance about you. Who you been hanging around? I remember I started dyeing my beard because I went like totally gray in my beard. And I'm like 43. So I was like, man, you know, I started putting some black in it, you know. And then people started saying, well, what's her name? What's her name? I said, what you mean, what's her name? I just didn't want no gray in my beard. Well, people started assuming I was dating somebody because I started dyeing my beard. You trying to look young? Who you trying to look young for? So I said all that to say, people will always start asking, what you been doing? Why are you doing? Why you changed? Why you used to didn't do that. Now you're, what's going on? I've been walking with God. Amen. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17. No, 3, I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. It says, in all of us, as with unveiled face, because we continue to behold in the word of God as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, we are constantly being transfigured into his very own image in ever increasing splendor and from one degree of glory to another. As you continue to look into the word of God will change you. It will change how you look. It'll change how you act. It'll change what you drive. It'll change what you live in. It'll change everything about you if you would just simply stay with the Word of God. Amen. and develop a healthy obsession with the word. It's okay to watch TV. It's okay to go to the movies if you're going to the right movies. Amen. Watching the right stuff, right? You're doing the right thing on Instagram, right? Watching the right stuff on social media. Right. So I'm not saying, you know, to be an Amish or, you know, whatever. I'm simply saying that you have to have an obsession with the word of God. Because as you obsess, as you are obsessed with the word, as you read it, as you study it, as you meditate it, it will change how you think. And if you will change how you think, it will change how you talk. And if you change how you talk, it'll change how you live. And you will live like God. And God doesn't take any L's. Amen. 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 I'm done, Pastor.